Today we're going to be talking about Arnold Toynbee, great historian of the 20th century. He wrote a massive book called A Study of History. It's 12, even 13 volumes long. I have written on him before in my book, The Prophets of Doom. There you can see him with a cup of tea there. And at one point he was the most famous historian in the world. But what is it that he said, and what were his most important ideas? I want to try to distill all of that work down into just 10 core ideas in the course of this one video. So let's not waste any further time. One of Toynbee's core ideas is that civilizations rise through challenge and response. For Toynbee, the engine of civilizational growth is neither geography nor race, but the creative capacity to meet adversity. When a society encounters a serious environmental or social challenge and responds with ingenuity, it enters a period of genuine growth. The severity of the challenge matters. Too easy, no growth. Too overwhelming, and collapse. So this is something that Toynbee talks about a lot, that no great civilization came without tremendous adversity at its start, a big challenge that needs to be overcome in some way. Secondly, he sees civilization as the chief unit of history, not the nation and not the individual. Toynbee argued that nations and individual actors are too small to serve as the meaningful units of historical analysis. Only whole civilizations, coherent cultural and spiritual communities spanning for centuries, can reveal the deeper pattern of human development. And in his book, he identified about 21 to 22, 23 different distinct civilizations in world history. And it's kind of funny because he keeps on chopping and changing them over the course. He wrote this book over many, many different years. And the list that he ends with is somewhat different from the list that he started with. But it's still very interesting exercise, to say the least. One of the big ideas in Toynbee is that the creative minority is one of the core engines of civilizations being able to meet their challenges, the challenge and response. The response typically is led by the creative minority. A gifted elite responds to challenges with novel solutions, inspiring the rest of society to follow through imitation, what Toynbee calls mimesis. The masses imitate. During the growth phase, the broader population adopts the values and the methods of the creative minority, leading social cohesion and forward momentum. And this creates a virtuous cycle of growth. Each successful response of the creative minority raises the society's capacity for the next challenge, driving what Toynbee calls genuine, spiritually orientated progress. And this brings us on to the next important idea in Toynbee, which is that growth, as he means it, is spiritual, not material. True civilizational progress is not measured in GDP or military power, but in the quality of response to challenge. A society grows when it develops more refined, self-determined, and spiritually elevated ways of meeting difficulty. Material accumulation without inner growth is, in his view, no progress at all. And this, as you can imagine, put Toynbee at odds with many thinkers in his own time, especially liberals who, you know, have this progressive view of history that it's onwards and upwards, and that material success is the measure of quote unquote progress. And I'll get myself out of the way again so you can see the whole slide. Breakdown happens when the creative minority fails. The turning point comes when the breakdown, I mean, first of all, when we're talking about the rise and fall of civilizations, much like in Spengler, in Toynbee, the collapse generally is internally generated, not externally generated. That is, it comes about because the creative minority within that civilization fails. It begins internally when the creative minority loses its creative spark. And this is another important concept, the spark that made the thing in the first place. Talk about this a lot in Prophets of Doom. And resorts to force rather than inspiration to maintain its leadership. The masses, once willing imitators of the creative minority, become resentful subjects of that minority. And the loss of creative capacity in the elite therefore shifts them from inspiration to coercion, and then that leads to the withdrawal of popular consent. Now, by popular consent, he doesn't mean democracy, by the way. What he means is the bulk of the population is just happy with the ruling class in general, and therefore it loses the loyalty of those masses. And this graphic I've put here shows it pretty well. In an ideal scenario, the creative minority is inspiring others and the masses are following them willingly, whereas in a bad situation where the minority is using coercive means, this alienates the masses who withdraw. They withdraw their consent for them and they start resenting them. And again, there are different times and places where this has happened in history. And if you think this is happening right now, you know, maybe this is something that you can comment on the video. Also, another important concept for Toynbee is the schism in the soul. As a civilizational fractures, Toynbee identified an inward psychological collapse that he calls the schism in the soul, a loss of confidence in the civilization, a loss of self-direction, a loss of collective purpose. Individuals oscillate between passive withdrawal and violent abandon, between nostalgia, mere nostalgia for the past, and utopian fantasies for the future. This inner rupture mirrors the outer social disintegration. Then you have the proletariat, who in Toynbee are both an internal force, that is the internal mass, and external. The internal proletariat is those within the civilization who feel excluded from its benefits. They grow alienated, forming new religious movements and eventually withdrawing consent from the dominant minority. And then you have the external proletariat, people on the periphery of the civilization, barbarian groups who were once held in check, but who now sense weakness and press inward, accelerating disintegration. And this leads to a movement of revolt and withdrawal. Both groups, that is both the internal proletariat and the external proletariat, ultimately withdraw their allegiance to the creative minority or actively revolt against them, spelling the political and cultural end of the civilization as a coherent whole. Another really interesting concept in Toynbee is his idea of the universal state and the universal church. These are late civilizational developments, the last acts of a civilization in decline. Two institutions emerge as holding response. The universal state, which is typically an empire, imposes political unity across a fractured world, buying time but rarely reversing the decline. Okay, the universal state is basically that which says, you know, we must live under liberal democracy and the Western values, etc., etc., in our current moment. Obviously, different empires have existed in history. But then, more significantly, the universal church arises from the internal proletariat, carrying spiritual values forward into the next era. Now, obviously, what Toynbee really has in mind here is the birth of Christianity out of the ashes of the Roman Empire, and how that was carried forth by the proles, by the normal people. Okay, kind of interesting idea. He also has notions of arrested civilizations and civilizational death. An arrested civilization, and I'll make myself put myself in this little box again. He says some societies meet the initial challenges. You know, remember the challenge and response. They meet those challenges and adapt. But then, after that initial challenge was overcome, they freeze. They survive, but they cease to grow. They get locked into a static pattern, unable to meet new demands. So they just get kind of like frozen. And that he calls that an arrested civilization. Then you get civilizational disintegration. Most civilizations, when they can no longer respond creatively, disintegrate through internal revolt, external conquest, or slow cultural exhaustion. And there's one very memorable passage where Toynbee says, look, the barbarians, they rarely end civilizations. They come as carrion to feast on the carcass. That was always a very poetic image that stuck with me from reading Toynbee. And then he says there is possible salvation. Only a higher religion rooted in the suffering of the proletariat may carry forward spiritual meaning beyond the civilization's physical end. And this is a pertinent idea in Toynbee, who, as he was writing the book, became more strongly Christian himself. His most distinctive and controversial claim is that civilizations are not ends in themselves. They are, in his words, the chariot of religion. When a civilizational faith, when a civilization falls, the universal church it produced may carry its deeper spiritual achievements forward by becoming the chrysalis from which the next butterfly, the next civilization, is born. History, for Toynbee, is ultimately a spiritual drama. Civilizations are the chariots of religion. They rise and fall, but the spiritual insights they generate may outlast them all. And that's the last of the real points from Toynbee. Now, if you're interested in Toynbee, the abridged version of A Study of History is quite the brick to get through. I would recommend starting, of course, with my own book, Prophets of Doom. You can have a look at Toynbee there. If you've enjoyed this lecture, I've got lots of other lectures that you can buy in courses at the Academic Agency. The Trivium is the bestseller, but Foundations of Shakespeare also sells very well. Foundations of Economics, Foundations of Politics. There are many great courses that you can purchase. If you want to get into more spiritual matters and some of these methods of self-improvement that Toynbee mentioned, Academic Agent Mindset is my new side channel there. You can see it's growing. It's got over 11,000 subs now. Subscribe to that. You can get a lot of my, what I call, Ride the Tiger content. Another way of riding the tiger, of course, is just to play video games. And I take a trip down memory lane on Academic Agent Gaming, looking at great games from the past and indeed the present. Most importantly of all, ladies and gentlemen, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.